This show is a part of the Podnuts Network. Find more shows like this at www.podnuts.com.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go.
Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go. And you found it. Welcome to the Nightwise.com podcast, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you're a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, Android, or Sun Solaris user, we have the tips and tricks you need to tune tech into your way of life and let the technology work for you. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming 60 minutes or so, I'll be your host on this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, KW804, the Cross-Platform Company. For more information and the show notes, head on over to the website, www.nightwise.com, that's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to that feed and get all of our Nightwise.com content, our podcasts, our screencasts, and our articles delivered to your favorite podcatcher automatically. Hey guys and girls, it's great to be back behind the microphone. Welcome to KW804. It's a sunny Friday evening here in Belgium, time to kick back and record a show. A show that has been on the scripting block for quite a couple of weeks. It's been a script I have been working on for quite a while because it has been something of a process, and now it's done. So I wanted to share it with you. Let me elaborate a little bit or explain a little bit about what today's show is going to be about, the Cross-Platform Company. It's going to be about setting up and running a company that is cross-platform friendly. Now, why would I do a podcast about this, and why would it take me quite a few weeks to get that podcast out there? Well, quite frankly, it also takes quite some time to start up a company, because that is what I did. I didn't only write a script for a show, I actually ate my own dog food and started up my own cross-platform company. Excuse me. Coffee time. Glorious coffee. And I'm actually also drinking something that's called Stars and Stripes Root Beer. Which is some kind of American soda. We don't have that around here. I think it, you know, it tastes like the room of my chiropractor. That's what my chiropractor's room smells like. That's what it tastes like. It should be normal, but whatever. Strange, strange little drink. And especially with coffee, it's a very strange combination. But that's not the point. I was talking about the fact that I had set up a company. And that company is my own freelance consultancy company. And that means that I am self-employed and that I am a freelance IT consultant that is for hire by different clients. At the moment, I am working for an American company in Brussels, and I'll be there for the next 5 months doing project manager's work. But it is actually my goal to do all sorts of things, considering everything that has to do with IT infrastructure and the technical professional knowledge that I have. You know my magic rule, never podcast about work. So I won't mention the name of my company, and I'll certainly won't mention the name of my client. Let's keep those sides nice and separated. But what I am going to talk about is how I run my company on the technological front? Which tools have I chosen? What philosophy have I chosen? How does it work? How do I integrate it with the IT of some clients that I encounter? How do I do my own processes? What hardware have I selected? What software? What was hard? What wasn't? And what is still to come? A lot to learn about running a cross-platform company with cross-platform technology in a way that that technology works for you. What I did, how I did it, and why, well, we'll see that in the meat of the matter. If I look into my crystal ball, I can say with a certain amount of certainty that you are a geek. If you're not, and you're listening to this show, you will become a geek. But that's okay, because I'm a geek too, and we're basically all geeks. And the great thing about being a geek is that you can play around with technology. You can try out all different things like gadgets and software and hardware and services and websites. And you can try them out and play with them and experiment. And sometimes they even break down and you have to fix them. But that's okay because it's fun and you learn. That's the great thing about being a geek. But there is also a user of technology which is called a professional. And a professional is somebody who uses technology to literally, you know, earn his keep. He has to make money with it. It has to be there all the time. Now, as a geek, you like to play around with technology. It has to be different. You want to customize it. You want to try out new things, download new versions and install new distros. And you want to upgrade and see if things break. And you want to open file type XYZ with application ABC and see what happens. And if it breaks down, you fix it and you learn. But when you are a professional, it always has to be online. It always has to work. It has to be predictable. Geeks love it when technology changes, and professionals love it when technology is stable. And from a geek's point of view, also quite boring. But that's the difference between being a geek and being a professional. A geek plays with technology and learns that way. A professional uses technology and actually makes a living with it. So what happens when you have a geek who loves to play with technology become a professional who has to live or earn his living using that technology? That's exactly what happened to me when I started up my own consultancy company. I could go the standard way of starting up a company. You know, you have two major philosophies when you start up a company. When you take a look at a big enterprise and desktops in big, big companies, it's mostly Windows. Why? It's standard, it's fairly predictable, it's ubiquitous, and everybody knows it. It's not hip, it's not cool, it's not new, it's not niche, it's just there. And it works most of the time. Then you have the other philosophy of the startup companies that love to play with Mac. Everything has to be Mac and this and that, and it has to be Mac here and perhaps a little bit of Google, but mostly Mac and only Mac because, not because it's Mac, but because it's not Windows. So when I started up my company, my consultancy company, I thought, okay, which way do I want to go? I can go the standard kind of enterprise-y way and buy a Windows laptop and Microsoft Word and kind of make it all predictable and compatible and fairly stable. Or I can go with the Mac. I can go the hipster way and say, like, I have a Mac and I have OS X on there and I use Pages and stuff like that. I decided to do neither, because I didn't want the standard drab office way, and I also didn't want the hipster, everything has to be a Mac way. I wanted it to be true to the philosophy that I personally believe in, and that is that technology should be cross-platform. So I decided when I started up my consultancy company that the technology that I would use would be cross-platform compatible. It would enable me to do the things I needed to do no matter what the operating system I was using. I also didn't really want to think about where I was. I could basically wanted to be able to run my company from anywhere. I also wanted it to be independent of a certain system. I didn't want to have a work laptop. I wanted to be able to run my company from any laptop. I didn't want one device to sync my emails in my pocket and do my phone calls. I wanted that to be available on any device. So just like with Nightwise.com, I said, I want something that works for me and that is cross-platform compatible. Now, those are that was my major, my starting philosophy. So I kind of derived some principles from there. I wrote them down on a piece of paper because I really wanted to think about it. I also had the time about how was I going to go about my use of technology. So I thought, I'm going to think this through. I'm going to start with kind of a vision. So I said it has to be cross-platform compatible. I actually want it to be location and device independent. So I am looking at a maximum use of cloud-based data with a maximum amount of control. And of course, I wanted to keep certain amounts or certain pieces of data or pieces of information confidential and not in the cloud, but mostly everything in the cloud with maximum control unless that didn't work or unless I had another requirement. I also wanted to work from multiple locations, hence my cloud vision, because I'm not always going to be in the office. I have an office, but I am mostly out and about on the road working with and from client locations. So I wanted to be able to run my company from anywhere. I also wanted it to be able to be run from any device. Let's say I come, I have to do a project at a client and he gives me his infrastructure. I have to be able to check the email of the company and do the things that I need to do, even using hardware that's not mine. I also wanted it to be something that multiple people could use because I'm not alone. We have the lovely Niana, and she takes care of the books and of all the paperwork. So she also had to be, in the loop of those work streams. And when I want my company to scale, I might even hire other contractors or, God knows, even hire staff. So what I'm setting up right now has to be scalable. And because I am a little startup with a little money and a lot of expenses, I wanted to pay no licenses, if not absolutely required. So those were my philosophy. That was my philosophy behind setting up the IT of my company. Now, I know what you guys are going to say. Well, Nightwise, it's easy. You can use OpenOffice and Linux, and you can use Android and a freeware here, and you can try that or run your own system. And, well, yeah, I could experiment and set things up and make things work. But that is where there is a fundamental difference between a geek's lab and a company office. I have a geek's lab. I have it right here. I'm actually partially in it right now. I have servers and virtual machines, and I have little netbooks that are stuck together with duct tape that are running Android, and I have room for a Raspberry Pi and a soldering bolt and whatever. Yes, it's my lab. Here I am, the crazy cross-platform professor that does all the magic that you love to listen to and love to read and love to watch. But I also am somebody who has a business, and that business needs an office. And that office needs predictable and reliable and fairly standardized technology. So I can't set up a geek lab to support the IT of my company. Why? Because a geek lab is fluent. Stuff breaks down, stuff gets replaced, I upgrade, I move, I reinstall. That cannot be the case with my IT for my company. It just has to work. Because, quite frankly, if I have to spend 1 hour patching a system or repairing a system or reinstalling a system or finding a patch on the internet or seeing if I can find the error in the config file or God knows what, or God forbid a crack for an application, that hour that I'm spending on my own infrastructure is an hour that I'm not working for my clients and that I cannot bill to my clients. And that is important. Because when I'm out, even on the client's clock, I can't tinker with my own system. I'm on the clock. I can't experiment with new systems because I have to know it works tomorrow. I can't change it around every 5 minutes because, as I said, that might be nice for me, but I have multiple people that will be working with this infrastructure. It isn't nice that links and applications and how-tos and procedures change every 5 minutes. I'll drive my beloved wife nuts. She wants to be able to do what she has to do for the company in a fairly standardized way. She has to rely on the technology. It has to work. It has to be predictable. It has to be stable. So I can't change it around every 5 seconds. And of course you can say, well, yes, I will go with format XYZ and I will only use Abbey Word Pro and its proprietary format to do my thing. And everybody who cannot read it, well, bloop, bloop, you just get Abbey Word 2 and you just install Linux 2. And by the way, if you don't have a Mac, well, just buy a Mac because I love to make my invoices in pages. Well, it's not like that. With a company, you don't live on an island. You don't live in your own technology bubble. How perfect it may be, okay, but there are going to be clients, suppliers, partners, and prospects out there that use something completely different. And you have to be able to communicate with them. So those are quite a few requirements and challenges that you have to get through. So how I actually got started into all of that technological stuff based on the philosophy that I have is by doing one major important thing, and that is set up your requirements. Ask yourself before you choose or touch technology, ask yourself the question, what do I want to do and how do I want technology to work for me? There's one scene from Star Trek Voyager that I always recall when I'm thinking about requirements of technology, and that's the scene in the first episode of Star Trek Voyager Caretaker, where Neelix the alien gets beamed on board the very first time. Tuvok is operating the transporter controls, Neelix comes aboard and looks around at the very, very impressive transporter room with all its equipment and transporter buffers and pattern enhancers and transporter pads and what have you. He looks around and he says to Tuvok, "Mr. Vulcan, what does all this do?" And I love that scene because it asks ourselves the question, what is the purpose of this technology? And the one thing that we should always remember is the purpose of technology is not technology. The purpose of buying a new gadget or downloading a new piece of software is not because it's there, but it's because it does something for us. Now, mind you, the people who are actually trying to sell you that new piece of hardware or software do want you to believe that you have to do it because it's the latest thing, but you actually have to pose yourself the question, what does it do and what does it do for me? And in order for you to answer that question, you have to ask yourself the question, what do I do? What is my workflow? What do I use technology for? I don't use technology because it's there, at least I hope not. That way you can never go through a department store or, some kind of a technology shop without fiddling with every dial and never leaving, because then you're using technology because it's there. No, you use technology to do something. And what do you do? I asked myself that very same question. I have a consultancy company, a freelance consultancy company. What do I do? Well, I took a look at the workflows that I have. As a freelance consultant, it's pretty easy. You look around. First of all, you tell people what you can do. Then you look around if there are any open positions or gigs or jobs or missions. Then you apply for that mission. Then you communicate in order to acquire that mission. Then you go on that mission. Then you perform the mission. Then you bill the people who hired you. You get money. And after the mission is complete, or while the mission is still running, you do some marketing, you do some connections, some networking, in order for you to be ready for your next mission if this mission ends. That's basically what a consultant does. He's kind of like a rock star. You bring out an album and you see if there's somebody who wants you to book you for a gig, and you go to the gig and you sing and dance and stage dive, which you don't do as a freelance consultant, I hope. And then, of course, you do some more promotion for your next tour, and, you know, that's how it works. So my company, or the workflow of my company, was quite easy. First of all, I had to create resumes and create cover letters, because those are the two major assets that I have to tell people what I can do. Then I have to find ways to find opportunities, to find clients. Then I need to be able to respond and communicate with those clients and the consulting agencies that mostly hire you to place you with a client. Then I need to keep track of what opportunities I responded to, which prices I agreed on, because those are all quotes. I have to kind of keep track of stuff. I have to keep track of the prices and the offers that I made, and make sure that when I sign the contracts, that the prices are the same. Then, of course, I need to be able to do the work I need to do at the client and see whether or not the client provides me the infrastructure to do it, or have my own infrastructure. And then, of course, I also need to be able to keep track of the status of those opportunities. Like, you know, I have applied for the opportunity, I've been presented to the client, we are negotiating a price, stuff like that. Those are all processes that I have in my company. Those are all workflows that I have in my company, and that help me to basically make money. So I needed technology that would support me and help me in doing these processes and getting this done. And if quite possible, please do it cheaply, do it dynamically, work for me, and of course be reliable and stable and predictable. So aside from my workflow, I had to take a look at, you know, some of the things I needed to do. So I looked around and I started thinking about applications and hardware and services and what have you. And which services I started using, I'll tell you in the next chapter. Okay, now let's see where we are. We have started up our company. We have talked about the philosophy we have about our company and about technology. We have taken a look at the requirements that I have for my technology and the different processes that I need to perform in order to run my company. Now it's time to get into the nitty-gritty. In order for my technological ecosphere to work, I kind of divided it in three things. Services, mostly online services. Software and hardware. I'll start out by the services. One of the most important services that I require is the ability to communicate, and that will mean communicate both with the outside world as with people inside my company. And in order for me to have a set of services that kind of connected well to the philosophy of my company and the requirements and the processes that I had, I decided to go with Google Apps for Domains. So Google Apps for Domains isn't free anymore. There's a difference with standard Google Apps, and that is that Google Apps for Domains is geared towards companies. That means that you have the entire Google suites, like Google Mail and Google Apps and Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets and what have you, but you have an email address that is at your company, at your domain name. So you don't mail hopsyflopsy@gmail.com. No, you email from, let's say, info@hopsyflopsy.com, which is, by the way, cool domain name. It's still free, I guess. I decided to go with Google Apps because I still had a Google Apps domain that I got a long, long time ago in the Galaxy far, far away when it was still for free. Right now, it costs you about 80 euros a year, but it is absolutely worth it. It will give you the online storage of Google Drive. It will give you Google Docs, Google Spreadsheets, Google Presentations, Google Draw, all the Google services, the calendar, the contacts, the email, the Hangouts, you know, all of that stuff is in there. Why did I go for a Google Apps domain? Well, I wanted to have something simple to write up my resumes and my cover letters, and I do that in Google Docs. I also wanted to be able to share those cover letters easily and those resumes easily with the people I work with. So I share them on my Google Drive. So I store my resumes in Google Drive using Google Docs, and I share them on my Google Drive. Why? Well, instead of sending a PDF around with a version of my resume, I just send the link to my resume to all the agencies that I work with. That way, when I update my resume, they click on it, they see the latest versions, and there is no confusion as regarding to what was the latest version of your resume. One of the things I also use Google Apps for is using it to keep track of my offers. The offers that I make, the prices that I make, and the status of the offers that I have are all kept in a Google Sheet. And that way I can access it from anywhere on any OS using any device. It just works, and it's a fairly simple requirement, but it just works. I have to be able to respond to opportunities, and I do that using Gmail. So all of our emails are done also in that Google Apps environment. I've created a couple of mailboxes, I've created a couple of aliases, and I use them to, get things done. What I also want to be able to do is to quickly search through my email and also be able to get my email from anywhere on any device, from any location on any OS. And Gmail does that and does it well. And it was also for me very important to automatically save contacts and contact information. That's important for me. My contacts are part of my network. My contacts are people that will either that I either work for, or that I will somewhere or somehow in the future work for them. So keeping track of all the people I talk to in order to tap them on the shoulder in a couple of months when my current assignment is done and I'm going into my next assignment was very important. So the great thing about Gmail is that it does do an automatic storing of contacts that you emailed with. And that list is a list that I regularly export, put into a Google spreadsheet, and keep track of it that way. I have to be offline as well from time to time. So I use Thunderbird as a client for my offline email when I need to be in an area where I don't have internet access, but still want to be able to get my mail and respond to my mail. So there I use Thunderbird, and that is also available on any OS and from any device, you know, any computer device. The other thing that I need to be able to do in order to get assignments and missions is to browse plethora of job sites. There are all kinds of sites that I have to visit where they post missions on and where they look for people. So I have to be able to keep track of those job sites and keep track of the websites of the different agencies. Now, in order to have those URLs or those bookmarks with me anywhere, I just use Chrome and I save them in the bookmarks bar. Whenever I come across an interesting offer, that offer is on a website. If that offer gets retracted or changed, sometimes that link is gone. I just use the saved Google Drive button in Chrome to immediately make a snapshot and put it in Google Drive. If I have an assignment where I responded on, I make a snapshot of that assignment, save it in Google Drive, take the quote that I made for that special, for that mission, and also put it in the same folder. And that way I have a very easy way to, a very easy place to go to see like, okay, this was the offer, this is the quote I made, and this is the status of that offer, and this is the contact that I have to talk to. It's all in one environment. Now, when I'm out and about, one of the things that I also need to do, aside from making resumes and communicating and looking for gigs, is that I have to, when I'm on the road, keep track of notes and expenses. Every expense that I made is an expense that has to be written down in the books. Now, I'm a geek. Give me a little slate, give me a text file or an email from 15 years ago and I can find it. Give me a slit of paper, give it to me 3 seconds and I lose it. I literally open up black holes in the fabric of space that swallow any piece of paper that is smaller than, a roll of wallpaper or that has information on it that's important. Literally, insurance documents, parking tickets, coupons, receipts, especially receipts. I have a special black hole for receipts. I lose them every single time. So what I do is on my mobile devices, I use Evernote. That way I can easily take pictures of the expenses that I make and the coupons. They get automatically uploaded to Evernote. And I have a rule in If This Then That, that's that magical online service that says whenever I take a picture with Evernote, copy it to Google Drive. So in Google Drive, I have a folder with pictures of coupons and receipts. And that way, once I get a receipt, I just take a picture of it and boom, it's in the cloud. It can be accessed by Niana here who does the bookkeeping and it will never be lost again. Also, if I have to take a quick voice note or I want to have a written or a recorded version of a special or of a talk that I had of a business negotiation, I also use Evernote to take voice notes. So that's one thing. And then there's also, of course, planning. As a consultant, it's very, very important to have good and decent planning. What are you going to do? When? Who are you going to work for? How long are you going to drive to get there? How much might that cost you? That's something that you need to know. So Google Calendar is, of course, the main service that we use. We have Google Calendar on all of our desktops. We have a shared calendar for the company that both Niana and I can access. And when we need to book appointments, we can just use that calendar. We also have personal Google calendars and we can overlay them on top of each other and keep a very nice oversight or a very nice overview of who's doing what, when, where, what are the appointments, what does still need to be done, who has invited somebody for a certain appointment or a meeting, have we approved, yes, no. I mean, my calendar, I live by it. What I did find out that Google Calendar did get a little bit messy on my smartphone, so I found the Cal app on Android for a better overview of what was going on. Cal is an application that's free on Android and iOS, and that lets you see all of your items that you have to do sequentially. So you don't have a time view of what's going on, but you kind of have a little bit of an overview of in 5 hours, you're going to do this, then you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. For having an overview of what your day is going to look like, that's pretty important. And the Cal app has a very nice widget on Android to do that. There are, of course, things that don't fit in your calendar. Those are your to-do items. And for that, I use the Any.do application. It's an Android app that lets you store to-do lists, but it's also a Chrome extension. So whether you are using a browser or you are on a mobile device, you can have your to-do items with you anywhere. They are always stored in the cloud and you can access them and they're automatically synchronized. If you say, well, I'm on a computer that doesn't have Chrome, At work, for example, I have a portable version of Chrome with me all the time because sometimes you work on computers where you cannot install your own software, but you still want to be able to do your own thing. Enter portable Google Chrome and the Chrome extensions. So the ones that I personally use is, of course, the Snapshot extension to save to Google Drive, the Any.do extension, and the Evernote snipper, basically leading back everything that I see in a browser window to my main workflows like email and taking notes and making screenshots and keeping track of things. Really, really nice. Now, I did tell you about the black hole that I have in my hand where I literally lose everything. So I have gotten an application and I need to be very sure which one it is because, that's it. It's called Camcard. One of the things that I constantly lose are small snippets of paper. And what are the most current, ubiquitous small pieces of paper that I get? Yes, business cards. Give me a business card, I'll probably lose it. And this is going to be my livelihood. I have to keep track of business cards. Send me an email. I will have your contact details forever and ever and ever. Give me a very shiny, glossy business card, and I'm like a magician. You know, before it's in my pocket, it's gone. So I installed Camcard on my Android smartphone. Great tip from one of the locals here in town who pointed it out to me. And it scans business cards and converts them directly into contact information on your Google environment, in your Google contacts. Now, it doesn't just make a PDF and dumps it. No. It really knows what's the name here, what's the phone number here, what's the address here, and puts that in the right fields. You can edit it before you upload it, but it does an OCR of a fairly standard business card. Now, if you're working with graphical people who insist that they have very complicated business cards that you need a freaking decryptor to read, Camcard's not going to be able to do that. But for all of the rest, it just works. So what I do right now, when I get a business card, I take Camcard, I take a picture, I make sure that it's in my Google contacts, and then, only then, do I put the card in my bag or in my pocket, because then it's gone, basically. If I need to quickly make sure that I have an image of an important document, I use the Cam Scanner app, also on my smartphone, which immediately takes a picture of whatever it sees and converts that to PDF, and you can email it or share it to your Google Drive right away. That was something that was pretty important for me. So those are kind of the services that I use. Then, and I wanted to take a look at some of the other services that I needed. I wanted to see whether or not I needed backups. Well, right up until now, I don't have any local data. There's no files on our computers, so we don't really need backups because right up until now, there's no data on our computers. But if we do backups, I do them via either a RoboCopy script or via an rsync script or via the great app called DejaDupe. DejaDupe is an application that downloads or that backups data to either a remote server, a USB drive, or a folder on the network. It's a Linux application. It comes standard with Ubuntu, but you can also install it by looking for DejaDupe. Now, I hear you say, why Nightwise? I mean, you don't really use Linux systems as workstations, do you? No. But all of my data is in the cloud. That's nice, but I don't trust that. So I regularly make copies, offline copies, automatically from of my Dropbox drive and of my Google Drive, and use DejaDupe to make a local copy of the cloud storage, just to make sure. So by syncing the cloud storage to my local drive and using DejaDupe to copy or back up the local drive to a remote location, I still have a you know, local backup of a cloud server. For me, that's important to have. So those were all the services, and you probably noticed that I haven't mentioned a lot of desktop software yet, aside from Thunderbird and Chrome. And quite frankly, yeah, that's it. I haven't purchased Microsoft Word. I haven't downloaded or used OpenOffice. I don't really believe in locally installed applications to do stuff with. I mean, everything I need to do, I can do when it comes to spreadsheets and word processing using the Google Drive. So I was not going to go for a local desktop publishing office-like application. It's not there. So in the next chapter, we're going to take a look at the geeky stuff that is called hardware, and which hardware I chose, and why, and what are the upsides and the downsides, and why did I want it? That's for the next part. Now for the hardware. Yes, the nice gadgets, the toys, the stuff you play with, you feel around with, and the stuff you need to impress clients, because quite frankly, you just cannot afford to come into the office of a client with a Packard Bell laptop kept together by duct tape from 1996. Well, you if you're a real hipster, you can, but I would advise against it. Speaking of hardware, one of the things that has been most crucial to the success of my company has been my phone. Because especially in the beginning, I had to take care of all of the things, the communication part, the calling people, making quotes, emailing, planning, getting everything done that you need to get done to score a contract and maintain communications with your clients and the people that you need to talk to. Well, that's my phone. I have a Galaxy Note 3 and I absolutely love it. People say it is too big. I disagree because for me, it's the sweet spot between a phone and a tablet. It's pretty fast. I've upgraded it with a 64GB SD card just to make sure that I can get all my podcasts and my entertainment on it. But for my company, it's crucial. It allows me to call clients and call potential suppliers. I can exchange emails. I can take a look at what I have stored on my Google Drive. I can take a look at quotes. I can contact my contacts, that's why they're called contacts. I can make pictures of the business cards that I get. Basically, it helps me get stuff done. And there's also this really important app that's called the Calculator, which lets me calculate my hourly fee times 8 times the days I work every month. And that is an application that kind of makes me happy if it has a nice number on it. So what I've done is I've just gotten a data and a voice contract. I have an unlimited voice contract. That was weird in the beginning because I used to have a good data contract and I had like, I don't know, 60 voice minutes. But man, if you start up a company, you make a lot of phone calls. So I had to go for an unlimited voice contract and a 2GB data contract. That cost me about $30 a month. And I'm pretty happy with that. I have applications on there that also allow me to make phone calls using the SIP phone, or it's a software SIP phone client of my ISP. So when I'm in the house and I need to make phone calls, I can use a SIP phone client and it doesn't actually cost me anything. But because I have a flat fee voice contract anyway, I don't use that quite that much. I text message now. I used to only email, but some people require me to text message them. And, you know, their suppliers, their clients, what they want, that goes. As I said, you're not on an island. And it also allows me to keep track of all the job sites, do the email, and of course, check LinkedIn, because that is also important for networking. My phone is my digital sidearm that really helps me run my company, and I cannot stress enough the fact that you need something that is reliable and that just works. The one perk I have added to it is my Galaxy Gear. That's the smartwatch I have. And why? Well, because it easily allows me to make voice calls using the smartwatch and also let my smartwatch be the interface to make appointments. I can just flip it up and say, new appointment, 3 o'clock, go to that. And then my phone will translate it and put it into Google Calendar. So my phone, really, really important. The second thing that was important, and this is basically the first thing that we really, really bought, was a multifunctional, a printer. That was something that we didn't even have in the house. I mean, Niana had an old laser printer, but we didn't have a decent printer and we didn't have a decent scanner. We just never worked with paper. Well, if you go into business, you'll work with paper. You get a lot of paperwork and you have to print stuff and sign stuff and, God forbid, fax stuff. And I told myself, I made a vow, I would not work with a client or a supplier or anybody that required me to send them a fax. I would rather staple a USB stick to the neck of a postal pigeon and kick it on its way than send a fax. So when I went for a multifunctional or for a printer, I said I want to be able to do a couple of things. I wanted to be able to be able to scan documents double-sided with one of those fancy double-sided paper feeds. Good. I wanted to be able to convert those documents to PDFs or PNGs or whatever. Good. I wanted to be able to scan a document and send it via email directly without the interface of a computer. I also wanted to be able to scan documents and upload them to Evernote, to Google Drive, and to Dropbox without the need of a computer. I want my printer to be able to print double-sided in color, and I want it to be able to be connected to the network so we can print from any computer. And I want it to be able to print documents from the internet. When I have a document on my smartphone, or I have a document on my tablet, or I have a document that I want to print and I'm not home, I want the printer to be able to do it. Basically, it has to stand alone and do all of that magic. I looked around quite a long time, and there's one printer that does it. It's the Dell C2665 DNF. Cost me about 450 euros, and it is absolutely worth it. It's a behemoth, but it does what it does. You can print using AirPrint and Google Cloud Print, so that allows me to print from my phone, even if I'm not home. Or it allows me to print from any Chrome browser. And since we work with Google Docs, we can just print our documents from anywhere. I wanted it to be able to, be cross-platform. So the Dell printer did come with Linux drivers, with Mac drivers, Windows drivers. That all worked. I hooked it up to the network so I can print using the computers that I hear in the network. And it can scan to cloud. It comes with the Dell Document Hub, which is basically a website. And what the multifunctional does is it scans your document to that website, and then you can link that website to your different online accounts. The great thing is the entire interface to do this is a touchscreen, and that comes with the multifunctional. It's, you know, on there, and you can just tap like a little tablet. Okay, I want this document, I want it double-sided, and I want to send it to Google Docs. And you can, the device, get this, logs into Google Docs. You can browse the folders and select not only where the document has to come, but also what name it has to have. And that works for Google Docs, for Dropbox, and for Evernote. Really nice. It's a massive machine, and we bought it in the Netherlands, and we had to get it home using Niana's Fiat 500 convertible. So the only way we got it in is by doing a space shuttle routine where we literally opened up the roof and loaded in the box using, you know, top to bottom, and then closed the roof, which was cool because we never thought it would fit, but it did. But that's the multifunctional. Then there's the screen and the keyboard. I use a Logitech wireless keyboard and touchpad. And let me get the name. The name's not on there. Okay. So I'll make a picture of it. It's a keyboard with Chiclet keys and a massive touchpad all in one. I use that as my keyboard. As for a screen, I am looking to get a Dell 29-inch widescreen display because I wanted to have a display that was wide enough to you know, give me both a good to give me the ability to be able to see the offers and the missions on one side and then type up my resume on the other side, so the resume that I make is actually matched to the mission that is described on the website. Now, I could go for a dual screen. I chose not to. I am looking towards that Dell 29-inch widescreen display, which isn't really expensive. I don't know the name anymore, and I will, you know, put the link in the show notes. I didn't go for a desktop because that was conflicting with work from anywhere, do anything, whatever you want. So I decided to go with a laptop and just use a docking station. I haven't bought the laptop yet because right now we are still waiting for our first invoice and we still have some equipment to work with. For the moment, I work with my Lenovo Twist 13-inch laptop. And one of the things I could do, of course, was buy a new Mac for the company. I could buy when I wanted to. I might need the expenses, go for a really, really expensive Mac. Because I had some requirements. I want an i7 processor so I can run virtual machines. It is allowed to run Windows natively, but it doesn't have to. It has to have a minimum of 8 gigs of RAM. It has to have an SSD. If it runs Windows, it has to have enough room to dual boot. And there weren't a lot, and it has to be about 13 inches. I didn't go for a Mac because when I wanted all of those requirements in a MacBook Pro, I needed a very, very expensive one, and I needed a 15-inch one. I didn't want that. I also wanted it to have a fairly good display. So 13 such and such by 700 such and such for a 13-inch display just wouldn't cut it. So I looked around. There's one laptop that's interesting. That is the ThinkPad Yoga. That's a Lenovo ThinkPad Yoga. It's a 12.5-inch laptop, i7, 265 SSD, 8 gigs of RAM. Comes with a touchscreen and a stylus, and you can fold it over. You know, you can fold the screen backwards and make it into a tablet. Pretty cool. Display is 1920 by 1080. HD display. Cool. Downside is it's fairly expensive. It's fast. It's a Yoga. It's a ThinkPad, so you'll probably kill somebody when you smash them on the head with it, but it's fairly heavy. The other competitor is the more elegant Yoga 2. It's not a ThinkPad. It's not a tank, but it's a more, you know, consumer line of Lenovo, you know, still darn good laptop. It comes with a massive 3,200 by 1,800 13-inch display. It has an i7 processor and a 512 gigabyte SSD with 8 gigs of RAM. Also, very cool machine, but the screen resolution was kind of a little bit over the top because what I want that laptop to be able to do is to at least run Linux. I'm not... As I said, I want my IT to be reliable, so I'm probably not going to use Windows for my own IT. I'm probably going to use Linux. The ThinkPad Yoga was a good candidate. The Yoga 2 13.3 with a massive display is also a great candidate, but those super high-res displays are a drag to get working because when you install Linux on it, you really have to tweak it to make it work. And that's something I don't want to do. I don't want to be tweaking. It just has to work. I don't want to go like, I'm not going to use Windows. I don't think it's reliable enough. I'll go to Linux and then have to work 3 weeks in order for my display to work. And then just before I do a presentation with a client, the video driver goes down. I can't have that. So Yoga 2, maybe not. One option that did remain was the Dell XPS 13 Developer Edition. It comes with Ubuntu 12.04 natively. has an i7 processor, has a 1920 by 1080 display, and it has a 265 gigabyte SSD, and it's quite affordable. So those laptops are still up in the air. I'm not really sure which one is winning, and I'm enjoying the process of selecting and revisiting the reviews and reading them and going like, perhaps I'll do that, perhaps I'll do that. Right now, I don't really need a laptop yet. I still have my Lenovo Twist, which is good, but I will go for one of these three. I don't use a tablet, at least not for work. For the company, because quite frankly, I want my setup to be simple. I have everything in my, in my laptop and on my phone. It's good enough. Of course, when I go to the client, that's the final piece. I have to have a bag, and I went for the Thule case that we reviewed a couple of podcasts ago. It's a small case. It's a small carrying bag, and it just is able to hold my 13-inch laptop and some small items. And I wanted it to be that way because I don't want to come into a client's office carrying this gigantic messenger bag because I want to have all my stuff with me. Quite frankly, I only have one bag and one shoulder, and I've trained myself to use a small laptop bag with a limited amount of items in it and then, you know, just get the maximum efficiency out of the least amount of weight. What I have in this bag is a topic for another show. That's something we talk about next time. So in the last chapter, we're going to take a look at what is still to come. And of course, what works so far and what is a big challenge. So is my cross-platform utopia complete? Not entirely. There are still some things that I need to figure out. One of the things is selecting my accounting software. I got a great tip from listener Gerard, who suggested Moneybird. It's a Dutch cloud-based accounting software that takes care of doing my invoices, making my quotes, and of course doing my bookkeeping. Because, you know, taxes and stuff, it's kind of a game, where it's an online game where you have to enter expenses and income, and then the objective of the game is to pay as little amount of taxes as possibly legally allowed. I'm going to play that online game. We're going to look for a service to do that. Moneybird is something that surely would do what we wanted. It's not very expensive. It's cross-platform. It's browser only. And it even has an iOS app so you can make your invoices on your phone. No Android app, though. A little bit of a bummer there. But as I said, we don't live on an island. I have to talk to my accountant and see if he is compatible with that software, because when I have to do my quarterly taxes, I have to give him this mountain of paperwork and he has to make sense of it. And if I do that mountain of paperwork in the cloud, whatever comes out of the cloud has to be something that he can work with. I still need to look for a little application on my phone to make sure that it keeps track of the times that I spent at clients. Mostly I am on assignments for an entire day and I just have to clock in and clock out. I'm still looking for an app that does that for me automatically. For example, you know, just logging when I get to the client's office and logging out when I leave and then giving me an estimate of how many hours I've been there. That's important for my timesheets. And that's about it, what we're still looking for. And there are also things that didn't work. I was very happy, cross-platform, everything was up to specs with the philosophy and the requirements that we had. And then we had to install our banking software. Now we have to keep track of payments of clients, so we need to get to the bank online. And the bank said, well, here's a card reader. I said, okay. And you have to connect it to your computer. I thought like, okay, that's dumb. You have to install software in order for it to work. Oh, that's even dumber. And you have to install a certificate on that computer for it to work. Okay, so multi-location, multi-user. We're talking at a dedicated system for my banking. And then they said, oh, it's Mac and Windows only. and it uses Java. So, bummer. I have a dedicated machine. Well, not dedicated, but we have a machine that does our banking stuff, which is kind of a bummer because I wanted it to be more of an online experience. Our, you know, personal bank has just a card and one of these little Vasco card readers on which you type a PIN, and you don't need any software. All you need is a browser, and that is it. So we can, you know, do our personal banking on any computer, any operating system. It's perfect. But for the bank of the company, we need a Mac. And that Mac has a USB card reader attached to it, and it has a Java install and all kinds of crappy software. It's a disaster, but, you know, it has to be done. So that was the entire cross-platform company, my entire startup that adheres to the principles and the philosophies and the requirements that I have. I hope you like the show, and maybe it inspires you to choose differently when you start up your own company. Wow, that has been quite a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, KW804, the cross-platform company or the cross-platform startup. It's been a long show, so I'm going to keep the outro short and sweet. You know where to find us if you have any suggestions or questions, feedback at Nightwise.com if you want to email us. You can find us on Twitter, Nightwise.com/Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook, Nightwise.com/Facebook. And of course, you can join the merry band on Google Plus, our own Google Plus community, Nightwise.com/Google Plus. In the background, my phone is buzzing. That means that my company requires my attention, and I can do that in a cross-platform manner. So, yeah. Stuff needs to be done. We will see each other next week. Until then, let technology work for you. You can support the show by clicking the PayPal link on the website or just having a friend subscribe. That's all we need. More listeners, that's all we want. And we will see each other in KW805. Topic still to be determined, but we have something on the table. See you guys soon. Let technology work for you. And let technology work for you. What was the rest of that line? I forgot. It's still early. Let technology work for you instead of the other way around. See you on the flip side. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.